6 o'clock on time, and that means it's time for the Better Health Radio Show. And as per usual, we've got Dr. Renee Boyce, and she's ready and raring to go. Good evening, Doc.
Good evening, Gregston. How are you?
A lovely smile on her face. I'm good, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, I am wonderful.
Glad to hear this.
Most people that know me know that usually I have a very serious-looking face.
Really? You?
Yes. Believe it or not. But when I smile, and I mean when I really do smile, the truth is it's one of those almost face-splitting smiles.
So we got to thank that your ears are right there.
Keeps my jaw
from splitting.
Correct. And the reason I have that face-splitting smile is that Gregson is not wearing a jacket.
Yeah, it's a little bit warm in here. I guess all the protests last week was heard. We will take care of that next week. You can bet your life on that.
It's nice and toasty here in the studio. Not so much.
But I'm glad you're happy, though.
Yes, of course. So I will be smiling for the entire evening. So welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. And if you want to reach us here in the studio, you can give us a call 434-1790 or 1791. Or if you want to send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. Just one more time, we'll give you those numbers to call us here in studio, and we really do welcome your calls. 434-1790 or 1791, or you can send us a WhatsApp to 266-4862. Now, the purpose of the Better Health Radio Show, every once in a while I reiterate that it's all about education. It's about discussing health topics, and usually we would have some specialist in the field of medicine or surgery here in the studio. I don't know if you remember, those of us who are our regular listeners, and good evening to all of you who don't miss the program. I've run into several of you, and it really was nice meeting you. But you would remember a little while ago, we had spoken with a family who had a child who was diabetic. That was last year, I remember. And this evening, we're going to have a similar conversation. We are in this evening with Mrs. Julie Clark. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
And how are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Are you truly fine?
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Yes. So we are going to discuss, and it will come out during the program, our topic of discussion. I don't want to give it away.
That's fine.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Julie.
Well, I am a young 40-something year old. I am the mother of three, 15, 11, and 7. I have lots on my plate. Lots. So I'm studying. I am doing a little work here and there, and mainly parenting.
Okay. And what do you do for fun? I asked Julie that question and she scoffed at me.
My answer to that was I do nothing really for fun. But, you know, the truth is that as I sat here and I reflected on it, I usually take in a good movie with the husband. And it's fun when we do it with the children. So we had a movie night the other night. It was great fun.
Okay, so hello to the Clark family if they're listening in. And let us talk about, you said your first child is 15.
She's 15, yes.
She's 15 and she just did some CXC. So we're waiting on those CXC results. Yes, I can imagine the waiting. I don't know where teen came from. Oh, yeah, the 15. So we're going to talk about your second child.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about Jordan.
Well, Jordan is 11, going 12. Of course, he would like us to think that he's much older. But Jordan is what you call my, well, all of my children are my gifts, but Jordan is extremely special.
Okay. So even before we get there to how special Jordan is, how was your pregnancy with Jordan? Were there any telltale signs that something was going wrong?
No, I had a normal pregnancy. Everything was good. Everything was good.
And delivery?
Delivery was good too. It is only after everything started to happen and I reflected, I remembered that there was just one moment when I would have had like a contraction. The contraction was really short. And you know, usually when you have the contraction, the doctor tells you to push. Well, so when I pushed, you know, he got stuck for just a couple seconds before we actually
Got him out,
yes.
Okay, so normally if you have a normal pregnancy, normal delivery, if it's your first time pregnancy, I'm talking from back in the day because you know that this is an area of medicine that is really not my favorite. So back in the day, your first pregnancy, you would stay in the hospital for 3 days. And your second pregnancy, you know, once it's normal, they ship you out quick, fast, and in a hurry once all is well.
Yes.
So you two were shipped out quite early?
I was shipped out early, yes.
Yes, and when we say shipped out, we are not speaking about being discharged irresponsibly.
No.
It just means that, okay, yes, we've checked you, we've done everything that we're supposed to do, we've checked the baby, and everybody's good.
You're good, and we need the bed, so
correct.
Bye.
Well, essentially. So you go home with your precious baby boy. You have now a four-year-old and a baby boy.
Right, she was actually three at the time. She hadn't turned four yet.
Okay, so tell us, when did you realize that there was something wrong with Jordan?
I think it came when he was probably about, I would say about 7 months or 8 months. Before that, you know, we noticed that his head was kind of flopping to the side. But then, you know, when he started to drool a lot and we thought, you know, he was just seething, you know. But then my mom actually is a person that brought it to my attention. She was like, you know, I think that he's drooling a little too much. I think you need to take, you know, you need to really take note of that. And when you go to the pediatrician the next time, you know, you probably need to have a conversation with her about it.
Right. So you said about 8 months thereabout.
About 8 months
thereabout. So normal development, a child who is 6 months would take one object from one hand and transfer it to the other. So pick up something in the left and transfer it to the right hand, and they can turn over and they can sit without support. So by then, you know, you shouldn't have that head lagging.
Right.
And you shouldn't have the drooling. So mom was right at that point in time that something might have been going on.
Yes, but obviously, you know, I was in denial.
Yes.
Jordan walked late. He talked late. He did everything late. But, you know, I just figured
that he was a late baby.
He was just a late baby, a late bloomer. And so when I did bring it up with the pediatrician, we then did a few, you know, I consulted then because his pediatrician is Dr. Lashley. And then I consulted with Dr. Campbell. And okay.
And Dr. Campbell is a pediatrician who specializes with development.
Yes,
and
developmental. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so she's also with the A.C. Graham Center.
Yeah, Bertie Graham. Everybody would familiarly know him as Bertie Graham.
Right.
It's right over there in Lady Mead Gardens, just opposite the Winston,
yes,
Scott Polyclinic.
And for some of us, we'll just know it as the Children's Development Center.
CDC, yes.
Yes. So we did consult with her, and between her and Dr. Lashley, you know, he was given the diagnosis of global developmental delay.
Okay, so we will break that down. Global meaning that is everything that's delayed. So speech, motor, intellectual, all of these.
Everything, yeah, everything.
Physical, was he getting bigger? Was he growing?
He was growing like normal. But so he didn't creep. You know, he just kind of dragged himself for even 2.2 seconds and that was it. He kept falling over a lot when he started to walk, you know, so we had quite a bit of that even up until he was probably about 4 or 5. You know, he was still falling a lot. His hand-eye coordination was not great. His head was still leaning on a side. You know, we thought it was, when we looked at the head leaning, we thought it might have been the muscle. So we had that checked out. Then we thought it might have been the eyesight. So then we went to specialists.
Got the eyes checked. Maybe it was the hearing.
The hearing checked. You know, all kinds of things we did.
So let's travel back 11 years, 10 plus years, to hearing that this precious little boy has not developed like other children.
Mm-hmm.
What were your feelings, if you can remember, at that point in time?
It was hard. It was hard to hear because you always think of, you know, you have a perfect child,
mm-hmm,
and you have all these dreams and these hopes. It was hard. I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I wanted to, I kept asking God, why me? You know, I went through that. I kept asking God, what did I do?
That this has happened to
that
me.
That this has happened. Yeah.
For sure. So how long have you and Wayne been married?
Wow.
All right. In what year were you married?
We have been, no, I'll tell you, we've been married for 16 years. 16, okay. Yeah, 16
And shout years. Out to Dr. Clark. Yes, you see, that's a very important thing as well. I'm going to ask you, Wayne is a doctor. He's an internal, does internal medicine, yes. Consultant in internal medicine. Did he realize that something was wrong with Jordan? Was he the one to agree with your mom and say, or was he in denial as well?
I think you'll have to ask him that.
Okay. All right. So I mean, the next time we run into him, we'll ask.
Yes. But, you know, as you know, Wayne is just
very cool.
Very cool about everything. I'm the one that gets worked up, you know. So Wayne is very cool and he is very, you know, so this thing has happened. Well, let's just deal with it.
Can I share a story? I tell people all the time, if they ask me how my husband is doing, I say to them, once Ryan is on this side of the mud, he is quite fine. And when I think of Wayne, it's the same similar personality. Not that they don't care, not that they're not taking things on, but their external appearance and what they say is just very cool, very calm, very matter of fact. Like you said, this is what has happened. We will deal with it. So we're going to go to break shortly, but what I want you to think about or try to remember would be some of the things that you had to start putting in place for Jordan, because you mentioned earlier that he started to fall over and topple. So you have to think about childproofing the house and those things to keep him safe. So think about those things. We're going to take our first break and we'll be right back.
On Sunday morning on VOB 92.9 FM, we'll look at Barbados everywhere. I'll be joining Maurice Norville for a special focus on the top stories of the week, both local and international, and how they profoundly affect us here on this big blue marble. We also reach out to the diaspora. There's a Bajan everywhere. Who are they? What are they doing? We hear their stories. Plus, we'll have fun with things Bajan. This Sunday morning on VOB 92.9 FM from 6:30 until 9:30. Hello. I'm Trevor Blackman. Join me this Sunday morning for Barbados Everywhere.
Know your rights, your CARICOM rights.
CARICOM leaders decided that member states should issue a CARICOM passport as a defining symbol of regionalism. This passport will facilitate easy travel throughout member states, and when your CARICOM passport is presented to the immigration officer, he will give it a 6-month stamp. Member states with CARICOM passports include Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Suriname, and Trinidad and Tobago.
Know your rights, your CARICOM rights.
A message from the Barbados Government Information Service.
Okay, 13 minutes after 6 is our time. It's the Better Health Radio Show. It's back over to Dr. Boyce.
Welcome back to you, our listeners. We are in with Julie Clark. We're discussing her son, Jordan, very wonderful little boy. I've run into him on several occasions. Actually, if I put it more correctly, Jordan has run into me on several occasions, and you'll hear why. This is a child who parents thought everything was okay until at about 8 months, he wasn't developing as normally as the other children were. And he had various tests and consultations with different types of doctors, and it was determined that he wasn't developmentally normal. He was developing slowly. So you mentioned earlier that he would have several falls. Did you do anything special to your home to try to keep him safe?
Well, we just tried to kind of keep the cupboards closed, but we didn't really do a lot in terms of baby-proofing besides put the gate by the stairs. But, you know, it so happened that Jordan is such a curious little boy. He always used to be pulling at things. You know, we realized that he liked drumming. for sure. So we bought him a drum set, but that didn't work because he just used my pots and pans to drum.
Parents make the big mistake all the time. You see the ads with all the stores overseas and so on, where the parents buy these most expensive gifts and the children play with the box and the wrapping.
Yes.
So you know what? Just go buy the box. Yes. Just buy the box.
Right. So pretty much we just try to keep an eye on him. But we try to encourage him to explore, you know? I mean, I remember he would go to the TV or even the fan and he kept looking behind because probably was wondering how it worked. Another thing I must also mention too is that he didn't speak early. So it was a lot of nonverbal communication.
Okay, so if he wanted something, he would point?
He would point. And we had to keep encouraging him to, you know, say what it is he wanted. We had even, at one point he went to Sunshine Stimulation Center. And he was going to get the different, you know, physio and the
occupational
OT
therapy,
and that kind of thing. But Jordan didn't really speak. Give me some full sentences and probably until he was maybe about three or so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that must have been challenging trying to get him to speak. He had to go to a separate speech therapist, or that was involved in his learning at
it was involved in the learning at the Sunshine Stimulation Center, but then we later, you know, took him to a separate therapist to do speech therapy.
Okay, what age did Jordan go into primary school?
I would say he went perhaps maybe from about four. But what happened is how that happened, really, I should say, is that, as I said, we had started at Sunshine, and then we transitioned him to Head Start Nursery for a couple of weeks to see how he would integrate. And then we moved him over to St. Gabriel's at the time, along with the aide that we had at the time, who was absolutely wonderful.
Okay, so he went to school with somebody who would be sitting alongside him to help him.
Yes, because my worry was, you know, he was going into an environment where there would have been more than 20 children, more than 10, more than 15, more than 20. I think at the time there were 28 children in the class. And I was worried. I didn't want him to get lost in everything. So we did send an aide with him to school.
Okay, so what sorts of things would the aide do with him whilst he was at school?
Well, first of all, she used to talk a lot. So he couldn't get anything unless he made some effort to speak. So she started actually with him before he actually went into primary. So she used to just talk a lot and say to him, you know, no, you can't have this. You have to tell me what it is you want, and kind of encourage him to speak and give me full sentences. And so that's, it began there. So by the time he got into primary, he was speaking. It wasn't as clear as I would have liked, but he was speaking.
So in terms of being able to go to the bathroom on his own, when he was, because by the time children are about three, they should be able to go to the bathroom on their own, or at least indicate that day.
We started that training early. I realized that it would have taken a longer time.
Yes.
So I started with that early. So by the time he went into school, he was potty trained.
Okay. So let us go now to the official diagnosis. What is his official diagnosis as it stands today?
As it stands today, he is ADHD. He also has they say Tourette syndrome, along with sensory issues. So it's like he's a cobbler pot of things. He's a gift that keeps on giving. You know, I mean, he is a gift that keeps on giving. I am thanking God every day for him. That is the truth.
Okay, so ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I pulled that from somewhere deep. So these are the children who can't, as it were, focus on one particular thing for too long. They're the ones who are always going, always moving, must always
full of energy
be doing. Yes. So have they put him on special medications?
I would have to say that when we initially got the diagnosis, I was happy that we at least had somewhere to start. The recommendation was that he would be on medication. I probably tried the medication for less than a week and I was done with that.
Okay, so what happened with...
The medication had him... To me, he was non-responsive. And I didn't like that.
Okay, the option of maybe decreasing the dose?
We tried all of that. But Jordan, what we... Well, Jordan's... To me, his system is really sensitive. Very, very sensitive. We even I would have to say, like, when he was at Sunshine, I dropped him off one morning. He was great. And by the time they called me for him at the lunchtime, he was really down. So he doesn't, when he's sick, you don't get any warning. It just happens.
Okay, quick, fast, and quick, in fast, a hurry.
And in a hurry.
Okay.
So when with medication, we have to be very careful. And even giving him the very low dosage, it didn't work out.
So how do you manage?
By the grace of God.
I remember I was at St. Philip's Parish Church. No, it wasn't St. Philip. There's another one, Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity, yes.
I was at Holy Trinity and I was standing there. There were people milling around and they were talking to other people in the group. I really wasn't involved in the conversation. But the next thing I knew was that a rush of wind passed me. It knocked into me and Jordan told me hello.
Yes.
So what that said to me is there were several people around, but that he recognized me, even although we don't interact that often, because it would have been a little while since I had seen him to that encounter. That
yes.
And when I tell you that he knocked into me, it was, you know, we've just discussed the energy. It was a full blow.
Jordan is quite a loving child.
Yeah, one big hug.
Lovely child. He's always giving hugs. He's always giving smiles, you know. And the thing is that I remember also when he was at Sunshine, they had tested him to see if he was autistic.
Yes.
And I remember them saying to me, well, you know, he is on the spectrum, definitely. But we are not sure because he doesn't present like a regular autistic child.
Yes.
Yeah, but Jordan is very sociable.
What does he contribute to the household in terms of cleaning and helping to cook and those things? Is he involved? Oh, dear. If you could only see Julie's face.
I would have to say when he's in the mood, yes. But with ADHD children, as you can appreciate, if they don't feel like doing anything, if they don't feel like moving, you can do everything that you... You can do everything that you can possibly think of. And sometimes it's very challenging.
Has discipline been a problem? Because not being in the mood, not wanting to do something, you know, having your own mind. And each child has their own personality, whether or not they have a diagnosis like ADHD. Yeah. So
it can be very difficult because sometimes he doesn't even remember stuff. Because one of the things with ADHD is that they have the short-term memory and the working memory also, you know? So sometimes he doesn't even, you know, like you would tell him something one time and he says, yeah, okay. And then a few minutes later, it's like almost you never said, you know? So it can be challenging, but, you know, we try to find something that he likes and we try to kind of talk to him about it, you know, if such and such doesn't happen, then, you know, you're not going to get the game, or you're not going to get TV time or whatever. So we try really hard. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
It doesn't. What's his favorite TV show?
He loves football.
Really?
Yes. Anytime he gets the remote, it is on football.
Okay. Good for him. And the thing is, I cannot understand football. I have tried for many years to understand the different positions. And are you laughing, Gregston?
I'm here minding my own business. I just heard that you can't understand football, yes, so I snickered.
Yes, I knew. I knew that was the case. I willingly admit I cannot understand football. I've tried.
Stick close to Jordan, you might learn something.
Ha, ha, ha. That's very true. They teach us some valuable lessons in this life. So let's talk about person's responses and their reactions to Jordan, because you said he's a very sociable child. So tell us a few of the experiences that stand out in your mind when it came to persons reacting to him, even family members, for example, when they discovered that he was not a quote-unquote normal child.
Well, family members always respond to him fine. I have no problem with that. They all love and care for him. His sisters, I would have to say that from very early, I spoke to them and I let them know, you know, your brother, his mind works differently. You know, his mind works differently. So sometimes the things that he does, it might not be the way you do it, but, you know, you have to appreciate that people do things differently. And so from the time Caitlin was young, that's the oldest one, from the time she was young, I spoke to her about it. And now that I have a 7-year-old and we also, you know, I've spoken to her about it. So they pretty much, he's just their brother, you know.
Do they fight?
Of course. Of course.
I give us a glimpse into a typical day in my household. In your household. A typical, let's say, for the time.
You're talking about a weekend day?
No, I'm talking about a school day. Weekend and typical.
Oh, my goodness. A typical school day. Well, we live really in St. Philip and they all go to school in town. So, you know, first of all, to beat the traffic, we have to leave home by a certain time.
Yes.
Getting them up is very difficult.
All three.
Two of the three.
All right, let me guess. Who is the early riser? I would say the smallest of the lot.
Yes.
Yes. And tell me her name again.
Gabby.
Gabrielle. Yes.
Yeah.
So Gabby is up bouncing and the other two are fast asleep.
We have to try to drag them out of bed. I can't even tell you how many wake up calls I do in the morning. And so there are several wake up calls to get out of bed and several wake up calls to get in the shower. And by the time 7 o'clock comes and we're out the door, I'm very stressed. I feel like if I've done
a day's work.
Yeah, for sure. So between stressing with getting them out and getting everything ready and crawling and hyperventilating and doing all these different things, you know, by the time we leave home, I am already sweating. Like I've worked at the gym for 2 hours.
Okay, so the drive down the road from St. Philip to St. Michael, you know, should be calming and no.
Well, it depends on what's going on, you know. It depends on what's going on. But usually the 15-year-old is trying to sleep, catch up on sleep that she, quote-unquote, lost. Missed. Mm-hmm. Jordan and Gabby usually have their row. But it's not like that every day, you know. Sometimes we listen to 97.5 as we're going down.
Oh, props to 97.5.
Yeah. And so they like the corny jokes and all that kind of thing.
That would be the gospel station for the likes of Dr. Boyce, who would not be familiar with the gospel side of things.
Are you kidding? For your information and that of the general listening public, I am fully aware of the gospel station.
So I made a mistake.
As I am an avid listener, you made a colossal mistake.
In that case, I apologize, madam.
Apology accepted.
So it depends on what we have going on. You know, as I said, we listen to the station. We kind of bet who's going to be LOL and SMH. Yes. And, you know, so we kind of have a row about that.
Yeah, my children listen out for the cow.
Yes. And depending on if we have spelling tests, we do the spelling words going down in the car. Depending on if it has something, if we had to talk about something that happened at home, we use that opportunity while we're going in the car to talk about it, you know. So it depends on what's happening. So by the time I get them to school, I just have to sit in the car park.
Yeah, for a few minutes.
For a few minutes.
Okay, so you have three children, three different dynamic personalities. You have a special needs child. How do you, Julie Clark, come down?
Very
anybody
tough
else?
Question.
Very crickets.
Yes. I think I come down at the end of the day when they're all in bed. Yes, believe it or not. I literally melt in the couch at bedtime.
And bedtime would roughly be about
8 o'clock.
Oh, standard.
Standard.
Okay.
Except for the older one.
Yeah, who might have some extra work to do.
Extra work to do. But we try to get them to bed by 8. Yeah.
Wow. Those crickets. Okay, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
But we had a show here on sleep just, Professor Roach was 2 weeks ago or last week? 2 weeks ago. Yes, he was 2 weeks ago. Yes, he was 2 weeks ago and he was talking about
how
the fact
important it is.
Yes, Gregson and I, we were flabbergasted during that show. about how important it is to get children to bed early. And even although the children are getting older, they still need an adequate amount of sleep. And sometimes children want to go to sleep at 11 or 12 o'clock. No, you can't.
No, I don't play that. They will try to negotiate the times on weekends, which is fine. But school time, bedtime is 8.
The law has been laid down in the Clark household. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
And children need routine. There are some people who believe that routine stifles a child's creativity, but it does completely the opposite. Those children who are disciplined sometimes are the most creative. And it really does show that children do need structure and discipline, especially the younger ones.
I need my sanity.
So it's not about them. Their structures. The 8 o'clock is for you.
The 8 o'clock is for me. Okay. I'm going to say that I'm going to be selfish with that.
Well, it's yours. Yes. I think you deserve something.
The 8 o'clock is for me. Because at 8 o'clock, when they're in bed, I just sit. And even though the TV or whatever is going, maybe I'm not paying attention. Maybe I just fall asleep on the couch, whatever it is. But that is for me to just kind of wind down and kind of think through and plan for the next day.
Okay, so between Jordan and Gabby, there are 4 years. Mm. Were you skeptical about having another child? Were you worried?
Well, I'm just going to say that Gabby was a surprise.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking about that at all. Gabby was a surprise. And she was a very wonderful surprise. Gabby, if you're listening, the thing about it, I will have to say this, is God is really, really, really good. And I'm going to share something with you. Not many people know, but I'm sharing with the general public now.
Wow.
Remember,
you heard it first, VOB 92.9, the Better Health Radio Show. Yes. We have the rights.
Yes. So imagine having to go through a lot of things I had to go through with Jordan in terms of getting him tested and reading in a report that my child was mentally retarded, because that's what came out in the report. Yes. And I did not feel good about that at all. I can't even tell you how many assessments I had, because I really was not happy with that. So here we are, fast forward a few years later, and I'm pregnant with Gabby. And I went for my doctor's appointment. I think I would have been maybe 5 months along. And, you know, they give you the blood tests and so. And so the doctor called me and said, you know, it looks like, you know, your child might be Down syndrome.
Down syndrome.
And that floored me.
I could only imagine.
I could not even think straight. And I remember they asked me to come in to do the amniocentesis.
Right. That's where they sample the fluid surrounding the baby to send it for testing.
Yes.
To see whether or not the baby might have Down syndrome.
Yes. And that was the hardest 2 weeks of my life, because I had to wait for the results for 2 weeks. And again, you know, people often say that you shouldn't question God. But here I was questioning God again. And I was upset. I cannot say that I wasn't. I was upset.
Clearly, this cannot be happening again.
Clearly, this could not. And I remember sitting on my sofa and I remember saying, you know, God, why is this happening? I cannot handle having Jordan and all the difficulties and then having to have a Down syndrome child after.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, Down syndrome is a disease that happens where there are problems in the chromosomes. They're not normal like the chromosomes in the average person. And chromosomes would be the material that determines how you look, how you talk, how you walk. They determine everything there is about you, your genetic material, your makeup. You find that those children with Down syndromes, they have a particular look. And depending on how severe the abnormality is, they would have more prominent features. So they tend to be ones who are a little challenged with learning, depending again on the severity. They might have heart troubles. They have particular looks on their face where their eyes are set apart wide. They have low set ears. They have a tongue that protrudes. And if you look at their feet, they call it a sandal toe because the two toes are spaced wide, so it looks as though they're wearing a sandal. So those are just some of the features of Down syndrome. And most people know when they see a child whether he or she has had Down syndrome. We have a call, so we'll take this call. Good evening and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening.
Let me take my hat off to Miss Clark, is her name?
Yes.
I am here sitting listening to her in awe. Well, I still say I am a parent because my daughter has passed.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear.
I had a daughter with special needs. She had something called Prader-Willi syndrome. 1 in 20,000.
Wow.
I too can speak to the good work of Dr. Campbell and the A.C. Graham Center. And all the things that you are saying, I am really happy that you are seeing your son as a gift. This year, my daughter died in 2006. She was 22.
Okay.
And really and truly, with Prader-Willi syndrome, it is a deletion of chromosome 14. I think it's chromosome 14. And my daughter was initially diagnosed as cerebral palsy. When my daughter was about 10 years old, at that time, her initial pediatrician would have been Dr. Archer. That is a long time ago, Dr. Boyce.
Yeah, well, Dr. Archer was my pediatrician.
Right.
And not a word, Gregston.
Very late. Excuse me, ma'am. Very long time ago, ma'am. You go ahead, please.
When she passed, I started seeing Dr. Graham. While I was seeing Dr. Graham, Dr. Campbell had just come back from being trained as a developmental pediatrician. And I remember then, because I went and made sure, because I work in healthcare,
okay.
I made sure he was the expert on cerebral palsy. So as my daughter is growing, I realized that these manifestations just ain't right. And I made an appointment to see Dr. Graham, and I walked into his office, because Dr. Graham and I had a very good relationship. And I said, he said, Felicia, what's the problem today? I said, Dr. Graham, if my daughter has cerebral palsy, I got it. So he laughed. And he said, so why are you saying that? So I went down the road about all the manifestations and da-da-da-da. And I said, and this is not happening. And he called Dr. Campbell because by that time she was occupying Dr. Archer's space across from him. And when she came over, he said to me, tell her what you just said to me. And I told her. Dr. Campbell went back to her office and came back and gave me a set of leaflets and said to me, go home and read them. When I read them, it was as though I
you were reading your daughter.
My daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dr. Campbell said, well, all we need to do is get the blood specimen and send it to be screened for the chromosomes. And sure enough, the diagnosis was Prader-Willi syndrome. I guess you got to go and check with Prader-Willi
syndrome. Yeah, because it's rare.
No, mm-hmm. It is 1 in 20,000.
Well, that's a special gift.
And I keep saying, every time I talk to Dr. Campbell, I say, Dr. Campbell, because we have a really good relationship still, Dr. Campbell, you find another
person. Have you found another one?
And I cannot find one. And I said to myself, 250,000 people living on 166 square miles.
And it had to be you.
And it had to be me. So I clearly understand when you said, why did this happen to me? But you know what?
Yes, ma'am.
The slant that my life has taken from having to become the expert on Prader-Willi and having to manage my daughter, I think that it has made me into a totally different kind of human being. And I just want to say to Miss Clark, you have a child that everybody can't have. Yes, I know that my situation. I fought a lot of battles on this island because many times when my daughter had to be hospitalized, I would say to the doctor, but she has a very high pain threshold, so she ain't going to feel that. But so she will not vomit. Because I then had to become the expert on Prader-Willi syndrome. So, ma'am, keep on doing what you're doing, and it will get easier. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. The caller mentioned something that has struck a chord with me. Even in more common illnesses like asthma and diabetes, for example, what she said was so important for parents. You need to become the expert in your child's illness. The only person that should know more than you probably would be the doctor.
Yes.
That is the only person that should know more about you. And the other thing she said is that you need to know your child. I think I've said it here on air before. I have an 11-year-old daughter who will eat you if you stand up for too long. Mm-hmm. And the day and the hour that she does not eat, the physicians in the accident and emergency will see me. Because knowing my child, something must be wrong. So this is how we as parents must know our children.
Yes.
We must know everything that there is to know about their specific illness. And sometimes it's difficult because sometimes you don't want to know, because sometimes the outlook, the prognosis is not great at all. And you don't want to know as a parent that possibly my child could die. It's something that you don't want to know. But in the meantime, what you need to do is know how to help them to live their best life whilst they're here. Mm-hmm. I think now is time for another break.
It's the hurricane season. Are you ready?
If there's a hurricane or disaster, you may need to go to a shelter. The Category 1 emergency shelters in St. James are Queen's College and Gordon Greenwich Primary School, St. Peter, All Saints Primary School, Coleridge and Parry, and Roland Edwards Primary, St. Lucy, Ignatius Byer Primary School, St. Philip, Hilda Skeen Primary, St. Thomas, Hillaby Turner's Hall Primary, and Lester Vaughan School, St. George, Cuthbert Moore Primary, St. John, The Lodge School, and St. Joseph, the Eric Holder Municipal Complex. Make sure that you prepare an emergency kit just in case you have to go to a shelter, and have non-perishable food items to last for at least 3 days.
For a full list of shelters, visit gisbarbados.gov.bb. Click on the downloads banner and general information.
Let's be safe this hurricane season.
A message from the Barbados Government Information Service.
Know your rights. Your CARICOM rights.
CARICOM leaders decided that member states should issue a CARICOM passport as a defining symbol of regionalism. This passport will facilitate easy travel throughout member states, and when your CARICOM passport is presented to the immigration officer, he will give it a 6-month stamp. Member states with CARICOM passports include Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Suriname, and Trinidad and Tobago.
Know your rights. Your CARICOM rights.
A message from the Barbados Government Information Service.
18 minutes away from the hour of 7 o'clock. I'm Greg Stinsley with you. You're listening to the Better Health Radio Show. We've got Dr. Renee Boyce on deck, and she has her guest in studio. Doc.
Good evening again, everybody. The caller we just had, she mentioned Prader-Willi syndrome, and I just had to look it up because I'm curious like that. I just love information. And it's a genetic disorder due to loss of function of specific genes. So in newborns, the symptoms include weak muscles, poor feeding, and slow development, which is why it can be mixed up with cerebral palsy. Beginning in childhood, the person becomes constantly hungry, which often leads to obesity and type 2 diabetes. So if you're curious, you can go ahead and look it up on the internet as well. And as a caller said, 1 in 20,000, rare as hen's teeth. So before the break, we were discussing with Julie about the possibility that Gabby might have had Down syndrome.
Yes.
And you're questioning God, wondering...
I'm wondering why this is happening to me. You know, what have I done that this is happening? You know, people usually say, God, don't put more on you than what you can bear. Mm. And at that point, I thought, oh, my goodness, I cannot bear anything else. And so the wait was long for me.
Yeah,
two weeks seemed like 2 years. And I remember just before the results came back, I was sitting on the couch and I was having this conversation with God in my head. And I was like, you know, God, you know what I can handle. Don't. Just don't. You know? And just a voice came in my head and said, her name is Gabrielle. Just like that. And I had to look it up, you know, woman of strength. And I said, okay, no problem. And then the day after or so, the doctor called and the results were back. And everything was okay. Yay. At that point, I could breathe. Because I'm sure I was holding my breath for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
Yes.
It can't be easy, because I fully understand what it is to have a child with a chronic illness, what it's like to be waiting for test results, what it is to be worried about your child being ill. So a little while before, we were discussing about person's reactions to Jordan, because Jordan is effervescent. If we could describe Jordan is tall. For me, Gregston, don't even touch the button. Don't touch it. For
me. Yes, he's taller than Dr. Boyce.
Anybody is taller than Dr. Boyce.
I will continue. As I was saying, Jordan is tall and slim and just all arms and legs.
Yes.
All arms and legs. So can you imagine this slender, all you see would be arms and legs just flying towards you, and then the arms flung around you.
Yes.
Hi, how are you? So what would people's reactions be?
Well, when Jordan was younger, you would hear, you know, like if I take him shopping with me in the supermarket or whatever, and, you know, he's misbehaving because, you know, he's not the child that would sit and be quiet. Even when he started to throw tantrums and stuff, you would hear people whispering, you know, he ain't got no behavior.
No training.
That mother can't train properly. You know, all them kind of things you hear. And I found that I had started to apologize for his behavior. Like, I felt like if I had to say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, da 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 da. And then one day I remember reading this story about this lady who was on a plane and her child was autistic. And she was sitting in the plane and she was wondering which passenger was sitting next to them. And every passenger that came through, she was looking at that person and say, oh my gosh, you know, Lord, help me. And eventually this business guy, you know, with his suit and his briefcase and his computer and everything, he came and he sat next to them. And, you know, she said she was about to apologize. And the guy said, no, he took out his laptop and he was playing. He and the girl had a jolly old conversation. You know, and the girl never used to talk that much, but they had a good conversation going. And then he left. She felt so great, you know, that she wrote about it. She said she didn't even know the guy's name. And that for me was inspiration, because it said to me, I did not have to apologize for who he is. He is who he is, and you either accept him as he is or you don't. You either accept that I'm his mother and I'm doing the best that I can, or you don't. So I'm not apologizing for how he behaves in public, because at the end of the day, what you see is just a glimpse, but you don't see everything else that I see.
That is true.
Right? And so people have to realize that what they say and how they talk affects people. You have to be careful with the comments you make. Right? And it does not just, for me as a mother, it doesn't make me just feel horrible. But can you imagine a child hearing an adult say something like that to them? No, I had enough. And I refused, from that day on, I refused to apologize for Jordan.
I remember my best friend saying something. You know, here in Barbados, culturally, we give our mouths a lot of liberty.
Yes.
You haven't seen some person in a very long time, and the first thing that you're going to say to that person is, well, loss, you get fat enough.
Yeah.
You don't know if I'm contemplating suicide. You don't know if I thought today that the very next person that says to me that I'm getting fat, I'm going to tell them off. Yeah. You don't know the struggles. You don't know if, you know, I might be pregnant, or I might have a medical condition, or I'm eating because I'm stressed out.
You don't know.
You don't know. And the slightest thing you say might be enough to just tip me over the edge. You are not allowed to give your mouth liberty.
No.
You're not.
And you also have to recognize that just like you, these special children, they have self-esteem issues. You know, they have self-esteem issues. So when you cry them down, it doesn't do anything for them. You know, what we need to do is build them up, because statistics say that these children are the children most likely to commit suicide, to drop out of school, to do drugs, to do alcohol.
To join gangs.
I don't want that for my son. I do not. I refuse to accept that. And I know God is good and it's not going to happen.
What are your hopes and dreams for Jordan?
I just want Jordan to be able to cope with life. I just want him to be happy with where he's at. I want him to be able to look at the world and understand that, so what, I'm different, but here I am. I want him to be able to make responsible choices, you know, in any kind of situation. But most importantly, I want him to just serve God and understand who he is in Christ.
And that is from the heart of a mother. Yes. That is from the heart of a mother. We have a comment here on WhatsApp. Good evening, Dr. Boyce and company. The subject for the evening is very interesting, and I'm very happy to hear these parents who are looking after their children instead of placing them in an institution. I work with these children now, and I know what it is like having these children and caring for them. Congrats to you. So this is somebody else who is applauding your effort, and I'm sure you have a strong support system, even although we've joked at Wayne already for the evening. I know that he has been a tower of support for you.
He has. I cannot say. I mean, God has blessed me with a wonderful husband, and that is the truth. As I said, we balance each other. I'm the one that gets stressed out. He's the calm one, you know? And I also have to say that I have had to make changes, you know? I mean, we all want to go to school and have this and that, but I've had to make changes, and I did not mind doing it because I did it for the sake of my child.
Okay, so when you say changes,
I've had to make, I was in corporate Barbados. I made the decision. I quit my job because I needed to come out and make sure that, you know, that he was okay. We needed to chart a path for him. It did not mean that I would be in somebody's workplace from 8 till 8, right? I had to make that sacrifice. It hasn't always been easy, but it was a sacrifice that I chose to make. My background is in business, and I have undertaken studying education just to understand what is happening out there and how then I can create some sort of niche or opening for
parents such as yourself,
a parent such as myself, or even for Jordan. And believe you me, education is not my first choice.
Sometimes these things come upon us.
I know. My parents were teachers. I've been running from it for a long time.
Oh, dear. I know a young lady. I'm sure she's not listening now, but we have been friends for decades. Not another word, Gregston. We have been best friends since primary school. Her mom was a teacher. And like you, she started out in the business world, and she was gung-ho on human resources. But the calling of teaching slapped her upside down. And I think she just recently won Teacher of the Year, an award for Teacher of the Year. So for somebody who was running from teaching,
to be quite honest, you know, I'm still fighting that battle with God. Be quite honest.
I wish you well. Having witnessed in real life somebody lose that battle.
I know. God's will always prevail.
Good evening, Lisa. I don't know what to say to you. Sorry. We will have you back on the show discussing that niche that you've created after you finish your, I think it's a diploma in education you told me that you're doing now.
Well, this is the final thing because I would have completed a master's in education now. And so this diploma is just, you know, a little icing on the cake to make sure that I understand what's happening on the ground. Because, you know, as the caller rightly said, and as Dr. Boy said, you have to know your children, you have to know what is out there, and you have to be able to get in there and do the work. As parents, we have that responsibility. So this, yes, it will bless somebody else, fine. But this really is for me to understand what is happening out there, that I can make a better way for Jordan and be able to help to plan how he develops and how he goes forward in life.
I think sometimes we don't want to have difficult circumstances in our life. But if we truly look back and look through those difficult circumstances in our life, and we allow them to shape them into the human beings into whom we are supposed to develop, it does something great. Hardship produces greatness. And you wouldn't be looking for a niche. There is no way when you were in corporate Barbados that you would have been looking for a niche for those children who have ADHD.
No.
Sometimes the championing you has to come out through difficult circumstances.
For sure. You know, God knows what he's doing and when he's doing it and when is the right time.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
His timing is not my timing, or my timing is not his, but, you know, he'll work it out.
That is also true. And these are our beliefs. The beliefs herein expressed are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the station. We have to make sure that we clear the air. But I agree with you. Those are your beliefs. Those are my beliefs. And you state them. Mm-hmm. So these are our beliefs, not the station's.
Did you ever respond to the comments made by onlookers when you were in the supermarket, for example, when they made these comments that you weren't too happy about? Did you ever say anything to them, apart from the apology? Did you ever respond to them?
I tried not to because I knew that I was so, so very upset. I didn't think I could trust what would come out of my mouth. Mm. You know, so I had to make a conscious effort to see the bigger picture. Because at the end of the day, I also have to show Jordan that when you are in a situation that makes you upset or that makes you angry, it is not for you to lash out. It's for you to be calm and decide, okay, is this the battle I'm going to fight right now? Or is this, you know, do I just remain calm and do I just handle the situation as it comes? So for me, that is always in the back of my mind. I have to show him what it is like. How do we handle these things when people are against you or when people say hateful things against you? It doesn't mean that you have to strike out at them.
And the reason why I asked you that is because it brings me to the old saying, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. Because you see this happening. Yes, it is true that some children are not the best behaved, mm-hmm. but everyone who's behaving like that is not behaving like that because they're not taught properly well trained at home.
It you is with true, me? Yes.
There might be some underlying reason why they're like that.
Yes.
You don't know, I don't know, but you make a comment and mm-hmm. you could be dead wrong. As I always tell my mother, you cannot like someone, sit right next to them. They do not have to know.
Yes.
But there are some people who just don't believe that. I'm going to let you know I don't like you, just
but,
for example.
But huh? Even up to now, I still get the stares and the whispers and that kind of thing. I still get it. And he's 11 now. He'll be 12, you know.
And it's probably going to happen into adulthood.
It will happen.
Well, I'm hoping that programs like this will open up people's...
The purpose of the Better Health Radio Show. All
she
about
is becoming a superstar on this show, I tell you.
No, but this is my passion. This is what it's all about. It's about educating people. How many people would have understood or walked along the path that you've walked along and had no idea of how to cope and how to manage?
But I will also say this, Dr. Boyce, that sometimes it's not just strangers. Sometimes it's your close friends as really? Well. Sometimes your friends make comments that they think that they're trying to help, but they're quite insensitive. And so sometimes you have to kind of shield yourself because, you know, I would have lost quite a few friends if I really said what was on my mind.
Mm.
You know, so I'm just going to say, you know, you will have hardships. You will have strangers talking and whispering and making whatever gestures, but also to friends because they don't understand. You see, what they see is just at that minute.
Again.
It's just a snapshot. But they don't see everything that you put in to this child.
And they don't see all the good sides of him either. They don't see when he's doing what he's supposed to do and when he's made strides.
Yes.
You know? I think that's one of the other things too. We must always celebrate our children. Always yes. celebrate. So he learns to put away his dirty clothes. Well, that is reason to celebrate.
So we celebrate the small victories. Correct. But it has been very painful. It has been very painful.
This is with the friends.
With friends, think, yes. Yeah, who you think would know better or who you think would know the struggles that you have been through with this child mm-hmm. making comments that are insensitive and, to my mind, cruel, you know, without even thinking, you know, perhaps that's not the right thing or the right approach, or maybe I should have said it differently. Because they don't even come back and apologize. You don't even know if they've reflected or really understood what they have said.
We have another comment here that's agreeing. Having a child with special needs shows you who your friends are and what your support system is. Mm-hmm. So thanks to VOB 1089 and VOB 1040 and the person whose number ends with 3522. We really appreciate you listening in. And in the last few seconds, believe it or not, we're down to seconds. What do you want persons to remember about this conversation that we've had?
I want people to remember that, you know, no matter, the truth of the matter is that all children are gifts.
That is true.
Whether they have special needs or not. And we as parents and even as a general public need to be cognizant of the fact that we have a role to play in their development. So it means that you don't cry down a parent because you see them chastising the child. It means that, you know, you don't give the parent an odd look, maybe a child who has cerebral palsy or whatever
you don't stare impolitely.
You don't make rude comments. You don't know anything about what that person is going through. And I just want y'all to think about the fact that it could be you. You could be the one who has a child like that. We don't know what life has in store for us.
No, we don't.
We don't know what our future is. It might not be you. It might be your child who has a child like that. You know, so you just have, please, just to show a little kindness. That is all. Just show kindness and understanding.
I think that that's the perfect way for us to end today's episode. It's about kindness, something that seems to be disappearing in our society, quick, fast, and in a hurry.
And I must tip my hat to Mrs. Clark, right?
Yes, please.
Because sometimes I wonder how teachers, first of all, manage with children. Something's 20 to 30 in a classroom, all of different personalities, and they're not theirs, but you have to deal with them. Then there are the mothers or parents at home who have to deal with more than one child. And then to put the icing on the cake, a challenged child. So I tip my hat to you. When my niece and nephew are over, I look at the clock to see what time it is for them to go back. You with me? So when you guys deal with this and come out on top, I have to tip my hat to you.
What song is that, Lion King? Can you feel the love? I had to get it in.
So congrats to you. And I want, on behalf of all those people who do these despicable things, apologize for them.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Go ahead, Don. Sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's quite okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our show. We've had a wonderful conversation with Julie Clark, talking about her 11-year-old son, Jordan, who has ADHD and some other things, like she said, a cahabla pot of things. Yes, but you've been listening to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. And tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode.